Blog Talk Radio.
It is that time of year again, ladies and gentlemen, where it's time to separate contenders from pretenders. It is time to see what team in NAFA makes the biggest splash of all. In the next 2 hours, join us for our annual trade deadline show. And it should be fun as always, but there's really only one thing I want to start the show with right now.
Shall we begin?
Yes, we shall begin. Welcome to another edition of the NAFA Trade Deadline Show 2021-2022. I almost can't believe I'm saying 2022 at this point. It's unbelievable how long we've been doing this league and how long we've been doing this show. I believe it may have started out in 2009, I want to say, maybe 2008. I'm getting old, so quite honestly, I don't always remember. But want to thank you for joining us, and we are here for the next couple of hours. And if you're listening here on the What's Brewing Network, I want to give a shout out to George, my buddy, for letting us use this platform as always. We really appreciate it. And it really gives us a way of taking calls and, you know, getting together as a league. So, you know, so far, you know, this year feels a little bit more normal. Last year, of course, was a very interesting and weird deadline. 2020, we didn't have one. Hope everyone out there is doing well. Hopefully everybody's safe and hopefully everybody's healthy. I mean, that is always the most important thing. So how we're going to go here over the next 2 hours is a little monologue here. We're just going to talk about the state of the league. We're going to bring Frank on. And then if you're listening in, if you're calling in, please hang on the line. We will bring you on for sure. So I'm going to try to stick to a pecking order. Before we begin, I have to get this out of the way, and it's not even NAFA related. But ladies and gentlemen, it is hockey related. And I'm going to tell you why this needs to be played. Okay. The reason why, a lot of you know, I've been a long-suffering Sabre fan forever. And I must do this, and I'm sorry, guys, before we begin. I have to give one last time on our show, for the very, very last time, as he ends his 51st season as the play-by-play man of the Buffalo Sabres. I must play one soundbite, and it's out of my system, and then we move on.
Stolen away and cleared out to center ice to Pominville. Pominville into Ottawa territory. Pominville goes around Alfredson, touching for scores! Jason Pominville, shorthanded. Oh, now do you believe? Now do you believe? These guys are good, scary good, and they are going to either Carolina or New Jersey. The Buffalo Sabres knock off the Senators.
Buffalo. Who will be the big scorer tonight in NAFA? We shall find out. Thanks for putting up with me for that last minute. So what we're going to do here on the show, trades come through. Hopefully we had we've had some great deadlines over the years. Last year was kind of a tough one. How it's going to work is when we see a trade comes in, that's our breaking news sound that we've had here for years. So we will certainly break that out as stuff comes in. What we're going to do, you know, just looking over the league, it's unbelievable. I feel like when I first got into this league, I felt like there were a few teams at the top that were just incredible. And then you had, you know, some owners in the middle, and then you had some bottom feeders like myself, right? But I feel like now when looking at this league, there are so many teams that could win the Boyer now. Now, obviously, if we look at this season so far, I believe Frank Sr. in Las Vegas just looks like the cream of the crop right now. They have the most lethal team. When you have Cale Makar, Austin Matthews, and the Bull Leon Draisaitl leading your team, that's going to be a very, very, very tall order for any of us, as I found out with I think he beat me by 20 last time we played. I don't even remember. But be it as it may, besides that, there's a lot of really, really good teams. And also, before we begin the new tradition, I want to officially congratulate Doug for winning his first Boyer last season over Calgary. Doug rolled through the playoffs, had a great team last year. Everything was clicking on all cylinders. So, you know, Doug is still the defending champion. He's still in the mix. So until he is beaten, he is the defending champion. So just wanted to officially send the congrats on the show for Doug's awesome season. And also to Johnny making the finals. That was a great run for Johnny, and Johnny's right back at it again. He's having a great season. So hopefully we'll hear from him later. And anyway, we do have a trade to report. But before we do that, I would like to bring in our guest, ladies and gentlemen, the man that makes it run behind the scenes. I mean, there's a couple of us that do, but the tireless work he puts in is never underappreciated. His enthusiasm for NAFA is second to none. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him. It's Frank Pikowitz, ladies and gentlemen. You are on the show, I think. Are you on?
Hear me?
Frank, are you with me?
I think I'm with you. Am I with you?
Oh, there we go. I can hear you. Okay. Sorry. The switchboard changed here a little bit. It's a little bit different than usual, so I'm trying to work out the kinks. How's it going?
It's going. You know, working the phones, watching the games.
Nice. Nice.
Very late San Jose goal in that 8-0 game that's going on right now. But yep.
And by the way, before we get started, let's do the first one of the night, Frank.
Love
we
that
do
sound,
have a trade. Yeah, I figured you would. So there's a trade between Orlando and San Diego that came through. Orlando gets my old buddy Neil Pionk and San Diego's 7th for Cam Fowler and LA's 11th. I mean, a minor deal, but listen, you know, you need those depth defensemen. You need, you know, in case of injury or if you get those four, you know, those weeks where you got four games and you're playing bad teams. So interesting deal. Not a huge one, but nonetheless, it's a trade.
Yep. You know, I think so far it's been very, very quiet. I don't know if we're going to get too much. I think maybe there was a lot of trades during earlier in the season, but I was working on scores before I came on. I can give you an update on everything prior to the
sure. Okay.
The Boston Columbus game going final. So this is everything except for the Boston Columbus game, the Nashville Sharks game, and the Calgary Colorado game.
Okay.
So Orlando is up 6-1 on Delaware. Las Vegas is up 4-2 on Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
Peterborough up 6-4 on San Francisco.
Ooh.
Kelowna is up 1-1 on Atlantic City.
Ooh.
Calgary is up 8-4 on Nashville.
Wow, that's a big game right there. Two of the best teams in the league right there.
That was definitely the game of the week, without a doubt.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
Jacksonville up 5-3, but if San Jose doesn't score a goal, that's going to change.
Ooh, so you precariously. You have a precarious.
Yes.
I figured you liked that word. So.
Yes, definitely. 6-0 San Antonio over Los Angeles. And San Diego 7-2 lead on Allentown.
Allentown, yes. Our division just continues to get really, really tight. I mean, it already is. It may just get even tighter after tonight.
Top five in our conference is it's been ridiculous all season.
It sure has.
You have Calgary, Jacksonville, Nashville, San Diego, San Antonio. Nobody wants to lose, although Calgary playing Nashville this week, one of those two will. And unless something happens with McKinnon, it looks like I might lose this week too. So,
yeah, I mean, if everything holds, you know, in the Bates Conference, it would be Johnny with 26 points. Dan would go up to second with 24.
No. Those are all.
Oh,
Those are
Right. I'm sorry. So you're saying if Johnny wins, he'll have 24. Teddy will have 22. Dan will have 22. I'll have 21. And you will have – will you have 21 or are you going to have 22?
It depends on if Saros finishes off the shutout.
Mm-hmm.
That would tie us in Landeskog's goal. Landeskog has one already tonight. Would put Philadelphia in the lead over me, so that would push me in the loss category.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that would put me down to 20 points.
Gotcha. Okay,
and then
I
will play Nashville next week. So.
Okay.
And then the other conference, Las Vegas, has already clinched a bye. Will be up 5 points on Peterborough with 6 to go for the conference championship. Peterborough with 22, Orlando with 18, Kelowna with 16, Long Island with 15, San Francisco 13, Delaware 10, Atlantic City 10.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So, I mean, there's just a lot going on there. In the Peekiewicz Junior Conference, it's a little more straightforward at the top, but your father has a commanding lead, could be 5 points over Bates. You know, Bates is always there, always lurking in the shadows. We know he could always be a big player, so keep an eye on that. Doug is still in there, and, you know, there is a smorgasbord of teams there in the middle, so the battle for 12th will be very interesting as well. I mean, you know, you got to get in the dance to win, right? I mean, you can sneak in as a 12, and if you got the right matchups, you just never know in this league. I mean, I look at some of the teams in that 9-12 mix, and I don't know about you, Frank, but I don't feel like it's as weak as it used to be. I feel like those teams are much more sound than they used to be. You know, formidable teams that could bite you if you're not careful.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, like I've always said, and we've discussed it before, just get in and get hot. I mean, there's 12 teams that make it. If you can get on a run and you know, get hot, you know, anybody can win it. So, you know, Nate, would you like to go maybe into the couple of new rules that we just sent out? Or
yeah, absolutely. That was something I was going to pivot to, and just, you know, we'll call this your State of the Union, so to speak. We do this all the time. We started this with Tommy. So, you know, if you want to go over some things that have been implemented, and the floor is yours.
Okay, so the newest rules. Well, first, just to touch on the one we put in the off season, adding another lineup spot to the lineups for next year with the extra backup wing. I think that's going to be a lot more fun. It's going to be a lot tougher to manage rosters, and it'll also increase the competition a little more. And so that should be fun. And then changing the RFA. situation. I think a lot of guys love the RFA situation, and you know, we want to add to it a little bit, but not take away from the number of players going to the draft. So adding the option. Now this is something that's going to start at the beginning of next season, so it will not affect this summer's RFA. So this summer's RFA is the same as last year. The new rules don't come into effect until the end of next season. Being able to use two RFAs and one taxi call-up, or one RFA and two taxi call-ups. Also being able to, if you have two RFAs, you are allowed to buy two RFAs. So that adds a different level of intrigue as well. Adding an extra roster spot. Because of the fact that we used another lineup spot, we're giving another roster spot on top of that, just to add to the bench a little bit.
Okay.
And then with the RFAs, just adding a little bit more to the bottom of the compensation levels, so that there's not an equality of somebody that, say, has been in the lineup 7 or 8 times, ends up with a 6 or 7 NAFA quotient, is not the same level as somebody picking somebody up at the end of the year and throwing them into RFA and would still get a third-round compensation. So now we have the bottom, the four and the five level, fourth round draft pick, fifth round draft pick, you know, being able to do that, it'll open up a little bit more on the RFA as well. So that's the update there.
Okay.
And there we go.
Excellent. So there we go. So it should be, you know, more good changes. And I feel like, would you agree? I feel like the league's in a pretty good place right now. And, you know,
yeah.
Again.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, go for it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the competition has been pretty good this year. I mean, the lineups have been pretty good. The games have been great. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting last 3 weeks here. I still think a lot of things can change down the stretch. Maybe not so much as far as, the bottom half, trying to figure out who's going to get that 12th spot, but even the positioning, who's going to get the buys, who's going to be the top team that has to play in the first round as the 5 seed playing the 12. Will there be any upsets in the playoffs? That's mm-hmm. It's going to be a good look.
Absolutely. Absolutely is. So, yeah. So we're off and running here, guys. We are about 15 minutes in. And I know we've had a caller waiting for a while. It's a 917 area code. And forgive me if I don't know the numbers. You guys, I know some of your numbers, of course, based on area codes. But when we get to the 917s in New York and stuff like that, or even Pennsylvania.
My guess is John.
I mean, Johnny. Oh, all right. I should know this.
That's my guess.
But, Yeah, it could very well be. So let's bring on this other 917 guest. Thanks for waiting for a while. You're on.
Okay. Hello.
Hey.
Yeah. Frank got it right. It was me.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Barry Lamar Bonds, Jason Blake, Johnny Jackson. I always remember those old submissions.
Okay, I'm going to start off with something quick, and Frank already heard it. I'm actually going to relate Barry Bonds to my season from last year.
Okay.
And what happened here, because after Bonds finally made it to the World Series, they were flying after they lost, and his wife is like, you should be happy. And he's like, what are you talking about? You're like, you never said you want to win the World Series. You said you just want to play in it. She's like, you did that. So then I thought about it. I'm like, my goal last season was to make the finals. I made the finals. So the hockey gods looked at me like, you know what? You never said anything about winning. You said you just want to be in the finals. So you got your win.
Yep.
I was like, that's just dirty.
Yep. I remember when Bonds made that World Series. I still think that ball is traveling. He hit off Troy Percival in the World Series that year. So I still remember that. So, but anyway.
Yeah. And then
how's everything going?
Everything's going good, and I would say so far for this season, I pretty much like the way my season's been going. Haven't done a lot of moves, but I think I made two good trades that I think are going to pay off for me. The Kreider, I think, was the big one. Of course, the unexpected one, Kempe is right now overperforming, so I'm like, because it was just a thing, I'm like, well, I really haven't done anything. And normally with Brian, like you said, you're like, I'm going to reach out to you. You're going to make a trade. You got to get you active. So, and it happened, and it's just one of those things that just happened. But see, yep. I know how this league works, and I think about a few years. It's been more than a few years. Like one time when I had Iguodala and Sharp, and I decided to trade them. And then as soon as I traded them, they took off, and I'm like, you know what? If you guys were to play like that. Before that, I probably could have won the cup that year, but no, you couldn't do anything until I traded you. So I'm like, it's just one of those things. I'm like, yeah, everything always seems to come back full circle. So
it sure does.
And then, and then one other thing, and me and Frank talked about this. I'm like, I have no problems with the extra position. I still think the one thing I didn't like, I thought what should have been the extra position, it shouldn't have been the wing. It should have been whether or not you want to put a center or defenseman. I think it should have just been open. But I'm
sort
like,
of like a flex in a football league that you have?
Yeah.
Kind of like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can actually, like, we talked about it, but I'm like, you know what, as long as we were able to give feedback, I'm one of those, I may not always agree with a change, but I'm like, if most of the owners, if not all the owners, have given their feedback and that was the final ruling, I'm like, you know what, I may not like it, I can, I have no problems going along with it. The only time I would have an issue is when there's like a change and no one was really consulted, like it was just like, I know it's not completely like that. I'm just saying I know, like, because I know Frank, he reaches out to people no matter what. But sometimes I think with some things, I'm like, maybe it should be more of a vote than just, like, saying, well, the front office got together and, like, this is the change that's going to happen. I know it can't be done for everything, but I think for some bigger things, it mm-hmm. should be. And I think that is the case, but it's just one of the cases I'm like, well, given the opportunity to speak, so, and like
sure.
I said, what
yeah,
I'm saying, and what I'm saying, I know to Frank be like, yeah, we've already talked about that. And Frank's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I got to listen to this yet again.
and that's okay, because it's good for everybody else to hear it too, except for just me. But I think something that we talked about too, and now I just lost my train of thought. Chandler, go ahead, take it over, and then I'll try to remember what I was going to say.
No problem. So, no, it's excellent. And that's the thing, you know, about this league is that, you know, we have 16 personalities that may have 16 different thoughts, and there's ideas and things for the league. It's great. I mean, you know, overall, I think just about, you know, majority of things we have are really, really good. But, you know, sometimes out-of-the-box thinking is great, and it doesn't hurt to ask. I mean, that's never discouraged, you know, from any point of view.
Because
it's fun. You know, we want to have fun with it. And we want everybody to feel like they have an opportunity to bring something to the table.
So what I was going to say was that, you know, what I had told Johnny when he brought that up about asking other owners, for the last ruling, I had spoken to about half the owners in the league before sending out the email to the league asking for feedback. And there was one person that wrote back that was probably pretty much included in that those eight people that voiced an opinion. The other eight did not write back at all. So it's a very tough to sometimes get all 16 owners to vote or cast feedback or cast an opinion. So that was, we used to do it that way. We used to vote on the bigger things, and it was tough getting everybody to respond to that. So it just became something that the front office would do. But I have extended it beyond the front office, get opinion from some of the owners that actually do write back or do to voice an opinion, and I take all of those opinions into consideration and bring that up to the front office so that I can get feedback from the front office on those opinions as well. So, you know, a lot of these things get their fair, they get vetted enough to be able to make a decision to put something in or not. The other thing is that if we put something in and we don't like it, or it doesn't work as intended, then we can always change it, adjust it, or get rid of it, which is something that we did with the star system. You know, we put it in, we changed it a little bit, and then after a while we just decided, you know what, it wasn't really working as intended, so we got rid of it. And we do that with rules too. We tried with the goalies a while ago. We went to +5s instead of +4s, and it really changed the way we look at goaltenders and their value. So we went back to the +4 and feel like that's the best way to value them. So, you know, it's great as a league that we do that. We try things, and if it doesn't work, we change it. Or we get opinions from owners and take that all into consideration. Everybody that wants to voice an opinion can do that. So,
yep.
You know, like Johnny had said, it's good that we get opinions from owners so that this involves everybody, and it's just not just one person at the top making decisions based on what they feel that they want to do. It's everybody that wants to put an opinion in is getting their opinion in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So about a half hour in, guys, if you want to call in, give us a call, 516-531-9854. I think there's some stuff going on out there, so maybe we'll get some. Hey, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Where is my sound bite? I'm losing it. Frank, you love it. There it is. Yes, and this is a very interesting one, okay? Tommy gets a fourth-round pick in 2022 to L.A., a second-round pick, and Delaware gets defenseman Luke Hughes from Michigan University and property of the New Jersey Devils, and he is going right on the taxi squad. So a little bit of a future move, but an interesting one nonetheless. Will somebody in this league try to corner every Hughes that's out there? You know, right?
Yeah, it's possible.
There is, you know, there's another Jack Hughes coming in the draft next year, and he's projected to be a late first.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, imagine the Devils get him too. That would be pretty crazy. So, anyway, so yeah, we got a couple deals coming in. You know, again, nothing or shattering, but I feel like there is some chatter. I can fess up and tell you I am involved in a couple things and looking things over. So, and I'm sure Frank is, and I'm sure Johnny is, and I know Senior's out there lurking. I know Albert's out there. I know Dan's lurking out there. He already made a trade. Bowen Byram is available for Delaware. That's an interesting RFA possibility right there. And, you know, the thing about defensemen is you got to be very patient. You know, I mean, we talk about this all the time, right, Frank?
Yep.
I mean, the last 3 months, Rasmus Dahlin's on a 65-point pace over the last 3 months. He's finally figured out after how many years? Three or four years. So, you know, you have to really – but that's where the RFA is interesting, is that you can stretch those guys out. Actually, I'm sorry, he's still taxi eligible, according to Tom, so I misspoke there. So you could put him in and then get him in as an RFA and put him in there. So I'll announce some things we see in the group chat too. Kister Jr. is open for business. Dan's been open for business. You know, Griffey's out there making Malkin available for eBay. Gotts, the Ghost, all available for picks and combos. Frank making Crosby available. How about that? So that could be an interesting boom deal tonight as we move forward as well. So there you go.
He'll be the biggest player that moves so far, probably.
Yeah, I mean, and I, you know, I do expect some more to come through. I mean, anything's better than last year. I think we've almost beat last year's trade deadline already. That's how bad last year was. Last year was just like we were – Johnny and I were ready to start breaking down football like 45 minutes into the show. Like, we were ready to, you know. By the way, just for a public service announcement, 13 seconds is banned from being used on this show the rest of the way. So I'll just say that. If any of you know football and what happened in the playoffs this year, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. So I have to get some humor in here. So
I'd rather ban 14.
Yeah. I hear you, Johnny. I don't know. But anyway, we'll leave it at that. I hear you. We both have our pain there, but we'll get to that in the after hours. We'll have plenty of time to catch up on that as we always do. So, yeah, so it's nice that this year, you know, we had a little bit of a sideways with the schedule this year with the Olympic fiasco and some COVID issues. But overall, you know, I think the fact that we went through it the year before made it a little bit easier this time around. So hopefully next year we'll have a full year normalcy. But overall, this year feels a lot more normal than before. So, and our playoffs should be perfectly normal. So that. Very encouraging from that point of view.
Anybody else calling in?
It's getting quiet. I feel like Frank's up to something there.
Yeah,
I
wish I was.
Oh, I know he is. I'm trying to, let's see. Yeah, is anybody else going to call in? I mean, what's going on? It's, you know, we're a half hour in. Everybody falling asleep out there? I think Tommy's going to call in at some point. So we'll get some... We'll get some callers in. They usually call in around 11-ish now. So.
Well, the league is getting older year by year, so.
You know, that's the truth. That's something that we've talked about, and just throwing this out there for the league to think about, is the 12 o'clock deadline too late now? I mean, for me, it's great. It's 8 o'clock for me. It's no big deal for me. But I'm the only one that's out here in California on the West Coast. So, but for everybody else, it's, you know, would moving up the deadline on a different night or even a different hour be something that we should consider? I don't know, but that's for you guys to figure out. If anybody has feedback on that, please provide that to us either in the chat or an email. All ears, right, Frank?
Yeah.
Anyway, again, call in number 516-531-9854. Dan, it's Marc-Andre Fleury up for deals. Team needs a goalie. Kister Jr., Barzal, Carter, Verdeghi. I can never say that name, Frank. I'll never get it. You know?
You gotta think backwards. It's for Hagee, not for Gagey.
Yeah. Tommy's working the phones. He will call in eventually. Matt Boldy could be had taxi eligible. Saw a Minnesota fan in the crowd at the Sabre game last night wearing a Boldy jersey. I was thinking about Tommy when I saw that. Well, yeah, he probably liked
nice.
That. Yeah. So Matthew Boldy is a guy I still wish I had on my taxi squad, if that means anything to anybody out there. Where's Bates? Where's he lurking right now? I feel like he's in a lab working up like a 4-pick, 5-7-pick trade that he's going to bomb on us at some point. Who knows? But anyway, I'm still buying, folks. I'm looking around. I got a few things cooking right now, so I'm debating a lot of things right now. Frank has gotten quiet. Ah, yes. So what happened in that? Yeah.
I want you to do your thing.
No, it's okay. I'm just chatting away and trying to keep things going here as well as we possibly can, and just trying to peek at scores. Unfortunately, yes, the Predators did win 8-0. Ooh, San Jose just got smacked. My goodness. I mean,
yeah, Philadelphia took the lead on me by 2 now, because if you put the Landeskog goal in, it's now, I think,
Saros, well, he only made 17 saves, if that means anything to you.
It doesn't.
There's something about Nashville with these names that score for them. I don't know what it is, but Michael McCarron, Matt Luff, Yakov Trenin. I mean, who are these guys? I mean, they have – I don't know what it is about Nashville, but they just pull these guys out. And Yakov Trenin has 13 goals. I mean, barely have heard of him. So – hey, we have another caller, and let's see if I can validate. It is a 631. I do not believe it's your father, though, Frank. So, but it is a 631, and unfortunately, again, I apologize. I do not have anything saved here, but you are on the show. Welcome.
No, you're wrong. It is his father.
Oh, it is. You threw me off.
I'm calling to check up on him.
Ladies and gentlemen, the FanDuel going away favorite at a +200 to win the Boyer, Frank Sr., owner of Las Vegas, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't take that bet.
Hey, listen, after the week I had of course, the long match, that week felt like 20 weeks, ladies. It was like 7,
yeah.
It was like 8-8 on Tuesday, and all of a sudden I was losing 17-3. Right, Frank? Remember that?
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was just never ending. It's just like
he had to use a calculator that week.
Yes, I sure did. I slept in my math classes then. I couldn't count that high, so I needed a calculator. How's it going?
Not bad. I had a few offers out there that apparently fell through, but that's okay with me. There's still one on the burner. And,
nice.
All
right.
We will, we will see. It's, I'm fine either way.
Gotcha.
I was just
going to ask you that, like, how you're feeling overall. Like, is there any position that you're looking for? You want to put something out there? If, is there anything you're trying to do?
I'm trying to get rid of some people.
No.
Not enough.
That's a pleasant problem. So, you know, if anybody's out there.
Yeah, I guess, you know, defense would be nice, of course.
Yeah.
I have, I think, an excellent backup goalie in, on my taxi squad that nobody likes. But Mr. Kakinen over there on
I'll tell you what, Kakinen gave up four goals to the Sabres last night, but I'll tell you what, they were high-quality chances. He had a – I thought he's going to be a really good goalie. Minnesota
is
just going through a little bit of a funk right now, but once they get out of it, I think they'll be okay.
Same thing with Talbot. Talbot's having a tough week or two right now. I think Minnesota's just getting into a rut there, that's all.
Overall, defensively, they just don't look right. I think since they lost Dumba, maybe that's been hurting him as well.
It could be.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a long season. I mean, teams go through ebbs and flows and ups and downs. And as Frank knows, I'm still twitching, trying to keep myself from bringing up Igor Shesterkin off my taxi squad. Every time I see him continue to play like Dominik Hasek every night, I'm like, should I do it?
I know. That's always a big question.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is just played out of his mind right now this year, so.
Yep. Well, but you know, you can't just play for 1 year. You're always thinking about the other year. So if you bring him up now, then you lose him as far as a taxi call-up. And
true.
You got to make other changes, so.
Very true. But also, you know, when you have those opportunities and you have a chance to win a Boyer, you know, I won my last Boyer in 2009. That's a long time ago, folks. I mean, you know, and I barely won that Boyer. I got very lucky. I'll admit to Griffey, I was very lucky. I barely won that one. That was tough. You know, so it's hard, man. It's very, very hard to win a Boyer.
It's up to the general manager on that team to, you know, like manipulate things as to who you're going to keep, who you're going to protect, who you're going to put on your taxi squad. Do you RFA somebody? Do you go after anybody? You know, and if you put somebody out there and somebody puts a bid on him, do you pull him back or do you let him go for the draft pick?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's what makes this league so much fun, that there's so many different things you could do. And the whole thing about it is that it's all luck, so.
Well, sometimes. I mean, there is – I think there's definitely some skill, quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, playing the schedules correctly, making sure you got your positions right, and you know, just having, you know, all that in play. I mean, you could – you know, if you're not paying attention and at the deadline, if you trade for, like, four centers, I mean, what are you going to do with those four centers? So you have to have, okay, I got my two starters, and maybe in the playoffs – you know, 1 week some guy's got two starts, another one's got four. You know, things like that. You can do your due diligence, Frank, like
true.
That too. Due diligence. Yep. So you know that's definitely something to think about. I forgot that I have two Franks on the line, so I gotta preface that, right, Frank? Like senior, junior. I gotta.
We're sort of pretty good with that. We know who you're talking to.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, so right now you're sitting at 13-3-1. I mean, you're looking great. I mean, right now, you know, it's really looking good. So, guys, talk amongst yourselves. I need to handle a little business here.
Right now,
okay.
What does that mean? What do you think that means?
Closing the deal.
Okay.
Okay, so right now, is it just me and the two Franks that are online right now, or is there anyone else here?
That's what it sounds like, Johnny.
Okay. So
I'm still with the guys here, but you are correct. So feel free to.
Hey, John.
Johnny.
Yeah.
Johnny, did you have any interest in Byfield?
You know, I'm sorry about that because you did. Text me the other day, but I think when you text me, I was just about to go to sleep because remember I also have the night job. So, because I had mentioned to Frank to tell you that you had reached out to me and I wasn't blowing you off. So,
yeah, well I forgot to tell him that. So
Frank threw me under the bus.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. I threw myself under the bus.
Okay. I compromise. You threw us both under the bus. We'll go with that. Actually, I didn't really look that much into it.
Okay.
But if you want to take a look at my team, I am kind of interested. I can't pronounce the goalie's name that you keep talking about. I can't pronounce that name, so I'm not even going to try. But I do have some interest in him if you want to take a quick look and see.
Okay.
There we go. A little live negotiation on the line. Frank loves that, right, Frank?
Absolutely. Feed it into my veins.
Yep. Oh, man.
And then, of course, now also just me being a little troublemaker as always. So Frank Jr., what did you do to your father? Because he said he wanted to get rid of some people. So I'm thinking, what did you do to make him mad at you?
I wish I could tell you that I beat him last week, but that wasn't the case either.
Hold on, guys. I've entered the mix on a trade. Yeah, I just sent it out hot off the press to Orlando, Martin Nietzsche's, and his third. Coming to me is Sam Reinhart and a Jacksonville seventh.
Nice.
That was it. That's what I had. So another deal down. Anyway, we have another caller, ladies and gentlemen. Another 631. Long Island is the hot spot, man. Now, I don't know who this is again. I apologize, but 631 Part 3, you are on the show. Welcome aboard.
Can anybody hear me?
Sure can.
Yeah, it's Doug. How you doing,
Doug? What's up, Doug? What's going on, man? I don't recognize cell phones. I just know you by Doug Kister on my phone. And so, yeah, once I put it in, that's it. I forget. Doug makes the trade and it comes on the show. Look at that. That was like perfect timing.
Yeah, I figured I would give a call because I just got done watching a movie with my wife. So
nice. There you go.
Figured I would jump in. What's been going on? What did I miss?
Well, there's a few trades. Nothing shattering. I mean, you've been involved with most of them. We still have about 48 minutes left.
You know, I've been hit with a significant amount of injuries this year, and so I made it a point to try to remain competitive, but I also wanted to try to retool some of my draft stock for this coming draft. I've had, you know, Frank and I are personal friends.
Yep.
Other than this league. And so, you know, him and I, we talk pretty frequently.
Gotcha.
About, you know, personal things as well as this week. And, you know, I always manage to, trade my first round pick for the next year in order to be competitive for the year prior. And this year I said, I'm not going to be doing that. I want to see how that works out. For the first time in my life, I want to have a first round pick in this week. I don't think I've ever had a first round pick in this week.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's an overrated experience, though. It depends if you win Boyer like you did last year. I think I would take that trade off of the first round.
Well, I mean, you know, I've got nothing really to prove. I'm pretty satisfied with, you know, what happened, obviously what happened last year as well as what's happening this year. So I really don't have anything to prove. You know, I should hopefully make the playoffs and see where it goes. I mean, but last year, I think it's, you know, for me especially, but, you know, for everyone, I think last year would be hard for any team in this league to duplicate what I did last year. And so I just, you know, like I said, I wanted to just try to remain competitive while trying to restock my draft my draft stock for this coming year.
Gotcha. Well, that's good. I mean, sometimes, you know, when you win the Boyer, it's, you know, sometimes the next year it's hard to keep all those players and, you know, you go for it. And, you know, that's how you sometimes you play that seesaw game. You know, it's very, very hard to do what Junior's done for so long, is, you know, to be one of the top teams every year. And so we're seeing it with Senior now. I mean, Senior's been doing it for such a long time as well. And, you know, it's really hard to stay at the top like that. I mean, my goal generally is really just to make the playoffs and get out of the first round and see what happens. Because once you get to the final eight, all the teams are really, really good. So it's really, really hard to do that.
It's
so,
very, very, you know.
Okay, there's one thing I would like to say. I'm like, congrats, Doug. But the thing is, with what you did last year, I wouldn't have been too upset if you didn't do what you did in the finals, because I'm like, it was like after day one, I'm like, well, this is over. I don't have to look at the scores anymore. This is over. I'm done. So,
I mean, and then, but the thing is with me and you know, the way I am, everybody congratulated me before the finals were over, and I don't count my chickens before they hatch. Even if I was, I could have been up by 20 goals, and I wouldn't have been like, hey, thanks very much. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where it's just like, you know, it's not over for me until it's over.
Yeah, but I mean, in reality, I was the one playing you, and I'm like, you know what? I already congratulate you. Like I said,
I know.
A few days before, I looked at the scores and be like, oh, okay. Oh, I'm not losing as badly as I was the day someone actually finally decided to score for me. But, again, I didn't forget the thing about the Knicks. The thing is, with all the mandates, I still haven't been to a game or a season. So I might have to put the promise off into next season. But we're still going to do it, though.
That's fine. I would love that. That'd be awesome. I haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah.
Been quite a while.
True.
When I get back to the East Coast, Johnny, we should make something happen like that. We should definitely talk amongst the group, even if we have just some get together in Long Island or something. You know, we should certainly make that happen.
Yeah, and I remember when I put it out there, a few people said they were interested. So if anyone's really interested, let me know, because through my rep, me and my sister's rep, we can definitely probably do like a group thing. So if anyone's really interested, just let me know, and I can start working on that.
You know, but as far as hockey in general has been difficult with this whole COVID situation. Hockey, I mean, look at what happened last year. The Vancouver Canucks didn't play for like 15 games, and I lost Besser and I lost Bo Horvat for that length of time. And it's just it made it very, very difficult. Even this year, it's very difficult. The Islanders lost a bunch of games at the beginning of the season due to COVID. It's just very difficult with this COVID. You know, very, very difficult to plan lineups. Very difficult to calculate man games and all those different things, because you never know what's going to happen from one minute to the next.
You're definitely right, because I know there's a couple of times I submitted my lineup based off everything I saw, and then after the lineups are locked in, like 2 hours later, oh yeah, this guy just put on COVID. I'm like, really? So yeah, trust me, we all get that. It got really frustrating. So,
you know, and then on top of it, you're dealing with, you know, for me it was, you know, Dougie Hamilton out for a length of time. Max Pacioretty was hurt 4 times this year.
Yep.
You know,
yeah,
I mean,
he's been
you're dealing with that on top of, you know, the COVID.
Yeah, well, do you know when you just say the word Vegas Golden Knights, somebody goes on IR? Their long-term IR... Their long-term IR payroll is bigger than the Sabres payroll. I mean, you know, anyway, if I had one of those sound, you know, those drum things, you know, little joke time. So, anyway.
part.
What's going on
out
there, guys? We got 40 minutes left.
I have nothing else going on.
Tommy has been a little bit off the grid. I wonder if that means something's happening. So.
Well, with everything that's going on, I'm thinking we don't need to play next season. We can just hand Tommy the cup now and just move on to the following season.
Yeah, I know. I know. Tommy is the FanDuel Sportsbook has Tommy as the plus 450 next year to win Boyer, according to the latest odds. I mean, basically, it's going to be, okay, we're at the first round. Okay, Tommy, take it away, guys. Take an hour break. We'll come back when Tommy's done taking his picks.
Yeah, maybe Tommy should just run the draft himself, just run the first round himself, pick himself 15 players, and then we can all move on to the rest of the draft.
15 players. No exaggeration or anything, Frank, right?
No, not at all.
To the point where I don't even know who I'm starting this week.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's some stuff out there. I think we'll see a couple things go down here. I think there'll still be a little bit more. I'm still looking to do a little bit more. I just don't know what yet. I'm hemming and hawing. Frank likes that too. Going back and forth. Got my third center. Happy there.
How about that Arizona-Ottawa game today? 13 goals in that game.
Yeah, what was up with that? That was crazy. Arizona's been playing some better hockey. And, you know, just to toot something for Griffey, I mean, you know, 10 goals for the Ghost. I mean, you know, he's been playing well. So hold on a second, guys. I just got to take a bio break, but feel free to talk amongst yourselves. I'll be right back.
That sounds like my father walking around the house.
You hear that?
Yeah. Yeah, we all
and
do.
I was right. Feeling.
Hey, gentlemen, I am back. How we doing? Did I miss anything?
I'm working on it.
Yeah, there were 16 trades made.
Anything stand out? Oh, really? 16 deals?
Yeah, Tommy traded away all 16 first-round picks.
Oh, man. Is that like an E3, maybe? No.
E3.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. I'd say I'd have to play that breaking news sound by 13 times in a row. Could you imagine the annoyance of that?
Nick Schmaltz had 2 goals and 5 assists today, 7 points.
Wow. He's a good player. He's just on a really bad team.
I thought I saw that he was on somebody's roster already. When Tommy picked him up, I went right to the rosters, and I was wrong. Otherwise, I would have picked him up.
You know, that's such a big key in this league. I mean, you know, a lot of us here are veterans in this league, but, I mean, sometimes you can get that gem, you know, once in a while.
Yeah, but now watch, he probably won't score again for the rest of the year.
Yep. Maybe not.
That would
we'll
be
see.
Tommy's loss.
Absolutely. I know. Frank knows. Once I mention a player, they score. Right, Frank? When they're not in your team. We'll
be
sitting there talking,
the
you know what?
SIE of the
Yeah, decade. We call it the speak into existence. And, like, you know what? Tage Thompson hasn't scored in a while. All of a sudden, he scores, like, 6 goals in, like, 8 games. And, you know, that's just how it goes. Doug will like that.
Did Matthews pass Draisaitl today with the 2 goals that he got? For the league?
That's a good question.
I think so, because I think they must have been – I thought they were tied going into today, but
– How does it feel, Frank Secure, to follow that out of every – how does it feel on an everyday basis to follow that? You got the top 2 goal guys.
I cry when they don't score.
39 goals for Austin Matthews, 38 for Draisaitl, 34 for Ovechkin, 33 for Kyle Connor, Pastrnak 31, DeBrincat 31. And who would have ever thought Chris Kreider would be sitting at third with 36 goals?
Yeah, I was going to say, did you put Kreider in there?
Oh, no, I did that on purpose because if you look at the other names, they're normal,
though.
Right? And you're like, wow, Chris Kreider, I mean, you know, he's always had the talent, but, man,
he doesn't disappear in the playoffs. I'm talking about NHL playoffs.
You know, my uncle's a big Ranger fan. He's always been waiting for Kreider to explode. He's been telling me this for about 7 years, I feel like. And it's finally come to fruition. You know, he's finally...
It came to fruition.
There it is, Frank. I'm breaking them all out for you tonight.
You're on fire.
Hey, what we got to do is keep things moving here. There is some stuff floating out there. We have 33 minutes. What is going on?
I think we got to change something in the NHL. We got to get them to put their trade deadline before our trade deadline. So maybe it'll make our trade deadline a little more interesting.
That would be very interesting.
Like, where is Mark Giordano going to go, and a whole bunch of other guys out there? Hurdle, where's he going to go? Hey.
Giroux, JT Miller.
Giroux, right. JT Miller.
Pavelski.
Shabbat. I'm sorry. Who's going to check with
I just texted Ed trying to get him to call in. He's a 516 number. Johnny, check your text. What?
I'm kind of responding to you now.
Okay.
We're at the almost half witching hour. So.
You know me, Frank. I overanalyze, so you know that by now.
Of course, I know. I don't want to get too close to that buzzer like last year.
Well, see, I think. Last year, I think I made, like 5 trades on something like that when I said I wasn't going to do anything.
I'm not going to do anything 5 trades later. Uh-oh. That's Doug's lineup. It's not a trade.
You heard that ding too, huh?
Damn it, Doug. You don't put your lineup in when we're on the call, because then we all get excited that the email comes up and you're like, oh, who made a trade now? Nope, it's just the lineup.
Sorry.
So then it would be wrong for me to set mine up and then do it on the loop, so I just kept doing it every minute.
Auto send.
So, okay, so since it's quiet, so just a question. Do you think maybe part of the reason why trading is down is because maybe of some of the new rules that are about to come into place and that there's more teams available for the playoffs?
Sam, why you want to answer that one? Or did he go away? Our host has decided to leave us. I spoke to Sanborn about that the other day, and he brought that up. It's a very good point, and it's very possible. We looked at a few ways to maybe cut it down to like 10 or 9 or something along those lines, but it's got to be either 8 or 12. It's just the way it works because there's not enough teams after the first round. I mean, I guess if enough people didn't like the 12, maybe we'd have to try to figure something out. But I do agree that it is possible that it could affect the deadline, the fact that there's more teams that are making it. At the same time, I don't know.
It's better that more teams make the playoffs and don't worry about how many trades there are. There'll be enough.
The point on that is that now more teams are playing further into the season as opposed to missing out with their guys on, 5 to 6 weeks of the season. At the end, if you only have 8 guys making it, 8 teams are sitting there not doing anything for the final 5 weeks of the season. The way we have it now, everybody's playing a little longer.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. But see, then I also think of like when you actually look at the actual sports leagues themselves, I notice as they expand, you also notice that the activity isn't quite the same that it also used to be as well. So it's not just like in our fantasy leagues. If you actually look at real sports, teams would be like, well, if we get in, all we got to do is just get hot at the right time, and you never know when a team is going to get hot or go cold for whatever reason.
Right. Ooh, avalanche target.
Why have I gone off the grid? Only so many goes.
Nathan McKinnon. But I forgot that Werenski scored before, so now I'm still down by one.
Okay, and a different question, because sometimes I get a little confused. For next year, is it 4 taxi squad people, or is it being reduced to 3?
No, it's still 4.
It's still 4? Okay.
We've had it at 5, and we've had it at 3. So I think 4 is the happy medium. I think 4 is a good level there where it's not ridiculous, but it's also worth something. I think that's going to stay at 4 for a while.
Okay, because, all right, yeah, that's something I needed to know as I was thinking about something, so, okay. And then just so I'm straight, the RFA possibly having two, that starts with not just upcoming drafted, the 2023 draft, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, this year everything is already set. So it'll go into effect after this RFA offseason at the start of next year so that you'll know before the season starts what the rules are as far as that's concerned. So you can make adjustments to your roster and your RFA and your taxi squad. To be able to do that, change that now, that wouldn't be right because teams have made changes, you know, with their lineup and with their taxi based on the rules that we already knew. So we couldn't do that this RFA offseason, but we can do it for next RFA offseason.
Okay, so, yeah, because, again, like, sometimes I have a tendency of taking it, like, rule changes and combining them into one season, and, be like, and then when I get it wrong, I'm like, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Even though one year I actually got it wrong and it actually benefited me, I'm like, oh, okay, I like it when it happens that way, but it don't happen that way often. Man, so it's really quiet tonight, huh?
It isn't for a lack of trying on my end, I'll tell you that right now.
Not a lack of trying on my end either. I'm just waiting to pull the trigger.
Yep, yeah, I think we're all over the place here, so.
Well, yeah, looks like there's only about 23 minutes to go.
Yep. There's still, you know, there's still possibilities. There's, you know, there are a couple teams that I thought maybe would do a little something.
So why it's kind of quiet? This is for you, Frank. So you're going to get a kick out of this. Let me know if you hear it. You hear it?
Oh. Oh, I'm even loving this right here.
When you don't know what to blame. You can blame
it
on the rain, Well, me and Sanborn love to, sorry, I have to give the backstory. So a bunch of my friends, when Todd Bowles was the head coach of New York Jets, loved to make fun of the fact that his name was T. Bowles, or Toilet Bowles. So we would always
turn it down. So, okay.
Man, I haven't heard that song in a long time. Man, it brings me back.
Yeah.
Well, with me and Frank, it's a long running joke. So.
so we would always blame Todd Bowles. We can blame Todd Bowles too.
Todd Bowles is to blame for everything. You know,
there's
no question that, you know. Doesn't matter. Bills can't stop the Chiefs 13 seconds ago. Blame Todd Bowles. I mean, it's just the way it goes. I mean, it's an easy 100% can't miss proposition. Yeah. So there you go. This music, I'll tell you. Oh man, you gotta be loving this deadline right now. Bates has not. You know, I'm really surprised at a couple things tonight. 21 minutes to go. We haven't had a single Bates trade, which really throws me for a loop. Okay.
Oh, he's probably working hard on the rosters, so. We'll just blame it on the rain again.
Whatever you do, don't put the blame on you. Well, it's about that time, I guess. It is about that time. I must do one thing here for you guys. Have a deal to announce. Lauren Brossois and my San Diego's third round pick is going to LA, and San Antonio is getting goalie Thatcher Demko and a sixth round pick. Official deal has been finalized.
Interesting.
So the goalie carousel continues in San Antonio. No twitching to bring up Sisterkin needed. So there you go. We have a few deals. What do we still have going with 18 minutes to go here? Oh, we have a big trade to announce, ladies and gentlemen. We have, this is probably the biggest of the night, Nashville getting, and this surprises me, Nashville gets the LA first in 2022 and Jared Spurgeon to Delaware for Matthew Tkachuk and Nashville's 13th in 2022. Guys,
wow.
Have at it. Wow, that is a very sizable trade. Because that LA pick could potentially be a top four, maybe top pick in the draft. Teddy is a major contender. Trades Tkachuk, but just looking at his roster, just to see what you know what he has after that.
He needed Spurgeon because D'Angelo and Mike Matheson hurt.
Yep. I mean, Jason Robinson has become a beast. He still has Jake Gensel. He still has Mikko Ratanen. So actually, he dealt from strength there. I mean, he has the three wingers. You know, it's good for both. I mean, I really like it for Tommy, too. I really like Tommy
Matthew
getting himself a guy like
24 years
Tkachuk.
Old, 27 goals
yep.
in 53 games.
Yep, for sure.
Also a former 34 goal scorer.
No question.
Wow. So far, that's the biggest deal. We'll see if another one comes in that might top it.
Yep. So that's that was good. That was one of the better ones. That kind of came out of nowhere. So, you know, that was excellent. So we have about 16 minutes to go. I'm just getting some trades in order here. So I still have some stuff working a little bit. So. Ladies and gentlemen, we have another caller, and I do know this area code because it's the only one, I think, from North Carolina. Dan Wheeler, you are on with the gentleman. Welcome.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much.
Hey,
talk to us. What's going on?
Not much. Not a whole lot.
Anything cooking right now with 15 minutes to go?
Nah, I think we're done for the night. I went and got a defender, so I got four defenders that I can interchange with Ekblad. So I feel good. And had some chatter about Fleury. It just didn't work out. But it's okay with me to have him backing up.
Don't mind us. The chatter is getting stronger in the background. What else is going on out there? This is about that time of the show, about 14 minutes to go. We hear sounds, you hear typing, you hear some things going on. So, oh, real quick, guys, when the trip, you have to announce the trade by 12 o'clock, right, Frank? Either here on the show or... Or
so there has to be mention of that there is at least a verbal agreement and that it has that it's going to be typed up either on the show or through league email. If you send it through email, just say, I have a deal, I need to announce it, and send it. So at least there's a mention of the trade being finalized. Or you can mention it on here, and if you're on the phone, you can say we have a deal, we're typing it up, and as long as it's before we say last call, we'll accept it, as long as it both sides agree by 12, both sides send the email by 12:30.
Absolutely.
But it has to be mention of it, either email or on the street by 12 midnight.
Totally, totally. 908 area code. Do we have someone for the league with that? Is this Tommy?
908. That might be Tommy. Of course, you got it sealed on. Now it's going to come on.
No, I said I brought in 908. 908, if you're listening, I click, you ring in, and then you drop. So please call him back in. If you have not. Hold on 1 second. Tom, 908, you're back. I think that's Tommy. I just don't remember phone numbers. There he is. He's back.
Hello?
Tom Stoddard, welcome to the show. We have Dan,
hey,
we have
guys.
Tom, we have...
What are you doing?
We don't...
Are
everybody...
For a couple of years,
everybody
you're already cutting me off?
Yeah, well, it's the way I go. What can I say?
You guys forget me?
I'm a novice with this switchboard, guys. I'm sorry.
So, thank you guys for doing this and putting the show together. Again, you guys have been doing a great job.
Thank you. No, thanks to everybody else. I mean, I couldn't do it without you guys. With me here babbling, there's nobody any good.
Yeah, I think everybody's busy making trades, trying to make trades at the last minute.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to tell a quick story, if you guys have a second, about how the trade with Nashville went down. I was looking at rosters.
Let's hear it.
I saw Teddy's team, and I just saw too many players for him to protect, especially at winger. Right? He had Robertson, who I would protect. He has Tkachuk. He has Duclair, who's no slouch, right? Gensel and Rantanen.
True.
So there's five guys, right? But then he also has Zibanejad. He has Roman Josi, and then he could RFA Adam Fox. So he has just too many guys to protect. So I just sent Teddy a text and asked him, out of your wingers, who are you not looking to protect? I'll send you a first for him. And, you know, I think it was more reluctant that he's like, you know, probably Tkachuk, but what would you give? And I just threw the first from LA out there because, you know, I probably, if I had, you know, if Tkachuk was available right there, I think he would be the number one pick. So I figure, why take a risk? I will offer it up now, and I'll just protect Tkachuk.
Definitely. So it's gotten quiet. What's going on, guys? Talk to me. 10 minutes to go.
Oh, man, my phone's wiring up like a Christmas tree.
I hear it. I wonder who that could be. Oh, wait, did I just say something? oh, man. Let's see. 10 minutes, guys. Get the last shots in. Yeah, I could see the Tkachuk one was a surprise. That really, that actually made my night. That was very good.
George is getting upset.
I just saw that sound bite and played it. I don't know. So.
Oh,
It's funny. I could hear it echoing on my side. Like my I'm echoing. Then I could hear like the George is getting upset thing about, oh, they're 20 seconds later for somebody else's computer or something. Don't you love those sounds?
The sound of silence.
Good song, by the way.
But on Get Smart, the Kona silence was better.
Eight minutes left, and I'm working. Yeah, there's stuff going on right now, and I love it. So feel free to talk, you know, talk about the weather. I don't know. Games tonight, hockey teams. What is going on? Why so quiet? Who is talking? Who is conversing? Bling, bloom, blang. I'm hearing all these noises. Except the one that I want to hear, and that's the breaking news soundbite.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, sometimes the best trades you make are the ones you don't make too, guys. I mean, you know, a lot of times you look at your roster and sometimes you want to make a trade just to make a trade, and then you realize that maybe it was better just to kind of go with what you got. Officially about 6 minutes and change left. Where are we at, guys? So after the deadline's over, we'll put a bow on in here a little bit, and then maybe we'll pivot into some NAFA talk, looking at our teams and maybe your guys' opinions on maybe what teams could be a force, like who you thought had a great week with the trade deadline, what teams you kind of think could be big challengers for this year's Boyer. How many Boyer Cups have been given out? Does anybody know off the top of their head?
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What was the question?
That's okay. You know what? We'll talk about that afterwards. So let's just. Tommy says last chance for Matt Boldy or Bowen Byram. Trying to move him last minute. Anybody out there need a taxi guy? Tommy, I wish I did, but I don't.
Yeah, it's
but if
okay.
Anybody's up.
Because
they're quality players.
One of it, yeah, if I can't move one of them, I'll probably just take one of my guys that are over 50, and I'll just move them up to an RFA, like Dawson Mercer or Lucas Raymond. So if I don't move them, they don't get moved, but, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. What is Frank doing? I am still waiting for it. I'm not even sure if we've ever had a deadline where Frank didn't make a deal. I don't even know if that's possible. I mean, that's like, I don't even know how to quantify it. Yeah. It's just shocking. We've had teams make a couple deals tonight, but again, just it's been a moderately better deadline than last year so far. Let's see. I'm still scouring. We got less than 5 minutes left. Final shot. Last opportunity. Who's going to try to take the Boyer from Doug? Who's going to do? Where's Bates? I'm really shocked that Bates is not getting on here tonight and made a deal somewhere.
Hey, I made an offer to Bates. You shut me down cold.
Yeah, there's been stuff out there. I mean, I would imagine it is, and I think this also speaks to the depth of the NHL in general too. But we'll get into that after the deadline's over. So we got 3 minutes to go. Anybody close? Anybody E5 in this? E4? Still looking. I'm still looking for stuff, but I just... Let's see. I'm calling it. San Antonio is closing for the night.
Okay, there's a deal coming.
All right, we got a deal. Oh, we do. Wait a minute. Brian needs two approvals for Bates on the Luke Hughes for Tom. There's an email out there about that. Keep an eye on that.
Yeah, where's Mr. Kister Jr.? We need that approval.
Yeah, we need that approval by 12:30, right? That falls into the 12:30 bucket.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on.
I have two deals coming.
Whoa.
Two deals coming. I've got to type them up. One is Jacksonville and Calgary, and one is Jacksonville and Peterborough. Two deals will be
okay.
I'm trying to put a quick deal together, but it might fall apart. I'll let you know in a second.
Okay, 1 minute to go. Hurry up. We got stuff out there.
All right, Delaware has a deal.
Ooh.
Write it up.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, it's now 12 o'clock. Hold on, anybody got anything saying yes or no? Working on it? We got a date right now. Right now, like right this second.
Like I said, I have two coming. We're just working out the back end, and I got to type them both up.
Okay. Yep, absolutely. So, yeah. Okay, I'm working on a deal with Albert, with Allentown. It's been put in the chat.
Okay.
So we'll send out the...
You can put that through. That's fine.
So much for closing shop, and then 3 minutes later. Okay, a little bit of action here. This is one of the better ones in a while. It's, you know, again, you know, we had a big one with Tommy. That's what she said. And man, we got trades all over the place right now. Looks like Kister has approved those deals, by the way. Both Kister's pretty active tonight, fairly. You know, some stuff going on here. Looks like we're getting Craig Bates to call in about 13 minutes, guys. Just a little preview of what's to come. So it's always great to hear from Craig after his we'll hopefully get to talk to him soon. Let's see. I'm trying to track this.
Let's just make sure we get everybody's
okay, we got, you know what? I got to do a special one here just for Frank because he has not done well. Jacksonville, Calgary has a deal. Calgary gets Brandon Saad, Allentown 4th. Jacksonville gets Clayton Keller and Delaware 9th. Interesting. A little depth deal. And we also have another deal, Delaware-Orlando. Delaware gets third round. Orlando for a Delaware 6th and Bowen Byram. Very interesting. So Doug
nice.
Is in the mix
so
for a guy like Bowen Byram. There you go. I mean, that's that guy is started my team and moved around. And one of these years, he's really going to break through. So that's a very interesting deal. So let's see.
Okay, the Peterborough-Jacksonville trade is coming through now, obviously pending Peterborough's written approval.
Oh.
Good, so we got the Kiss the Junior approvals, Delaware-Orlando. Third for
ooh, hold on. Another one. This is pretty sizable. Peterborough gets Sidney Crosby, Delaware 9th and San Antonio 4th. The Jacksonville, Bo Horvat, Long Island 2nd, and Kelowna's second round pick in 2022. That's a pretty big trade.
Right.
Yeah, that's a receipt. You know, I had my Wheaties today.
Come on with the Wheaties.
Special
you
K.
You totally
your
showed your age right there, by the way.
Okay. Let's see. I'm just trying to. I'm sending out something here as well. Let's see what else we got here. Tommy dropped. Thanks for calling in, Tommy. Always a pleasure. Calgary approves that deal. Then here comes some of the stuff. This is what, you know, this is why I can't wait to talk to Craig. This is what he sees. Probably in his, he's probably 3 in the morning. He's thinking about these emails that are coming through. He wakes up in all night. Wait, trade. Wait, where? Who has that pick? Who has that, you know? So it probably just, comes in like that. So, small deal to announce. I'll do the sound. Allentown and San Antonio complete their deal. Fifth round pick from LA and Alex Goligoski, did I say that right? Goes to Allentown, and I get a seventh round pick, and center Nico Hischier comes over to San Antonio. So that's last-minute little maneuvering to help with the depth and get some options going there. So. Just felt three centers may not be enough sometimes. Sometimes you want that fourth. That's really all that's about. Looks like Bates did approve the Crosby trade. Johnny approved the Brandon Saad deal for Clayton Keller. I'm just saying these things, you guys, so you kind of, you're wondering if it's been approved or not. Just, you know, and I know, I'll get an approval on our trade, and yeah, some very, very, very late stuff there. Very, I got to say, that was pretty surprising. In a way, to see that kind of Allentown has approved. Thank you, Albert, for approving. Yeah, so. Do we have anything else still in the works that was agreed to at 12 that has not come through yet, as far as we know?
That's a good question.
I don't think so. It sounds like they have gone through, from what I can gather, but that. Okay, now I have a void. We can't make a trade anymore. God.
No more trading until like what? Mid August.
Before Frank becomes that Dave Chappelle meme with the crack waiting for the trade. Start up baseball. Oh, wait. Sorry. We can't do that either. We'll let things decompress here for the next few minutes and then we'll get into your some of your guys' thoughts on the trades and maybe thoughts overall about NAFA.
Brian, I'm gonna drop off. I gotta get to bed.
All right, Frank.
All right, good night.
Always a pleasure. I'll speak to you later this week.
Yep. Bye, everyone. Enjoy.
Bye, bye. Right,
take care.
Thanks, Frank. Thank you for everything, bye. For the lineups and all that good stuff. So. Very crazy, huh? We had a little flurry there at the end, and some surprising. The one that sticks out for me is the Tommy trade with Kachuk.
Well, he had the draft capital, so he could pretty much do whatever he wanted. So it makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense for Teddy too. I mean, I guess the only thing I'm a little surprised about from Teddy's point of view, because he has a a really strong team as it is, that maybe he didn't go out there and flip his first and try to get something else. But I don't even know what he really needs at this point, to be honest. I mean, he's got two top centers. You know, his depth is pretty strong across the board. He's got two good goalies.
Yeah.
You know, Jason Robbins has become, you know, a really great winger. It's just, you know, so maybe he just dealt from strength, and now he's got two first-round picks going into next year. So he's going to be formidable again next year already right off the top. And, you know, in this 2022 NHL draft, which is going to be a really good draft, you know, and you have some very interesting guys. So, you know, he can put a great player on his taxi squad or trade it. He could do a lot of things with that. So, very, very interesting. And, ladies and gentlemen, 616 area code, I know who this is, the man behind the scenes. Man, that does the dirty work for us. Craig Bates has joined the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey,
how you doing?
What's going on?
Hey. I'm good. Sorry it's so late.
We're used to you, Craig. You're always busy behind the scenes, so this is usually about your time slot.
Yeah, I always try to hit at the end at least a little bit, so I ain't totally antisocial in the league.
Absolutely. So, you know, I knew you were lurking somewhere. I said it all show, off and on. I said, Craig has been quiet. I said, something's got to be going on. You know, and then he hit us with this Crosby trade late in the game.
Yeah, my protects were weak. So hopefully he's got a couple of good years left in him because I gave a ton for him. But he's been on fire.
He does. I think he does. I think Crosby's one of the absolute most special players to ever walk on this planet in hockey. I don't. His fitness is great. You know, players. I think the way he plays, he'll still be a really good player even for the next 3 years, as long as he doesn't get healthy. I mean, as long as he doesn't get hurt. I mean, so
sure.
As long as he stays there, I don't see why he wouldn't. And
yeah.
You know, listen, you have Ovechkin, Crosby. Whoever thought, you know, Craig has. The most legendary NAFA team right now. He's got Ovechkin, Crosby, and McDavid. I mean,
all 100 years old.
No, not
McDavid,
no.
But
to be honest with you,
and hi, Johnny, hi, Brian. I didn't say that when I come on. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
No problem. No. It's all good.
And we want to thank you for all the great work you do behind the scenes for us, Craig. We always appreciate it, man.
Well, and you know, like I said, I've sent an email before, and the owners of the league have been awesome. They really make the job a lot easier. I mean, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, it could be a struggle at times. But now the owners have really stepped up. I mean, everybody's putting – you know, links to everything, and I very rarely do I ever have to ask anybody for anything, and that makes such a big deal because I can't always get to everything within, you know, an hour of getting the email. So a lot of times it's evenings or the next morning. So, but thank you guys for saying, you know, for saying as much. But thanks for working so hard and making it so easy. So,
you've gotten to that point too, and you know, we make it work and. It makes this league so very unique and so interesting. You know, of course you could automate things on Yahoo. We could have those kind of leagues, but you don't get that participation that we get in this league. There's something about the file and there's something about it makes you look at things more, I think, than when you have everything right in front of you, like on a Yahoo site. So I think just as an example, I can't describe it. So,
sure. No, and I'm with you there. I mean, we're all as sports fans, right? So we all have friends outside work stuff we do. So when we're, you know, we get so many, it's everybody has busy lives. So the Yahoo, the ESPN, the Fox or whatever, you know, base that they use for football, you know, people tend to want to, you know, be able to sit down for a half an hour and just turn things around. This doesn't do that. And when my errors pop up, it kind of slows the thing down. So the owners, you know, it kind of screws them up a little bit. But I'm with you. We all have such busy lives. If you're really a sports fan, taking an extra 45 minutes to kind of break down what you got every week And as Johnny reiterated about COVID and a lot of the other stuff, and Doug, you know, it's been a little bit more work the last year or two, but to me, it gets me away from the hectic life that we live every day and kind of gets you tied in. You guys are real close, and you guys talk on the phone a lot, where I just don't have that availability. And with that, that forces me to plop my butt down, get online, grab the paper, and do a little bit of studying, you know?
Absolutely.
Wow, you just said something I haven't thought about in a while. You said grab a paper. I'm trying to think. I don't remember the last time I actually read a paper. I do everything online so much now.
You know what's funny, Johnny? And you know what's funny you mentioned that? Because I remember one of the great things when I used to work in Manhattan, and Johnny, you could probably relate to, a lot of you from New York relate to this, was grabbing like a poster, Daily News, and being on the train, or you know, if you're on the LIRR, if you're on the New Jersey Transit, and you know, you just read those papers. I mean, that's when I got my best reading in. You know, just sitting there for an hour and trying to get to work in Manhattan. But you're right, you don't really do that much anymore. But sometimes I miss that a little bit, you know, because I feel like you retain more sometimes when you read it than online, because we're so distracted online these days.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because every now and then I'll walk by a store and I'll just go in and I'll just buy a paper just for the sake of buying a paper.
Mm-hmm.
So I can sit down and actually open up and read it. I'm like, yeah, I remember when I used to do this.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So my wife brings home the Wall Street Journal and from her work, and I'm like, why not? I mean, it's a paper. I mean, I haven't done that in a very, very long time, so I've been doing that lately more often.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's a little bit old school, and it's kind of inconvenient. You know, we've got, everything right there at our phone or on our laptop or whatever. And, about 5 years ago, we had a couple of different guys that we were adding to the league. And I was talking to Frank, and one guy just wasn't, you know, prompt, you know, and he had a struggle every week just even getting his lineups in. And, you know, and I said to Frank, as an example, it's like, you know, some people are, and it's changed now, we're all this, but some people are phone guys where they do their pickups and drops and free agents and trades and stuff on the phone. And I said, there's guys, and I'm one of them. I'm in front of a computer typing emails. I very rarely use my phone. And it's just funny how we've evolved even the last 5 years. I can't say that today compared to 5 years ago, because it's half and half now. For an old codger like Frank Sr. would know probably a little bit.
He's a young spring chicken. I gotta let that guy fool you.
It's, you know, you wanna I like hard copies. I like to write it down. I like to, and it's just the world is just changing, you know, and business
is
that way, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't mean to get off on these little stories, but
the stories are great. I mean, as much as we love hockey and other stuff, I mean, feel free to bring something into the mix. I mean, I'm sitting here trying to set my lineup, and I love listening to this. It's great. You know? I'm like, yes,
yeah,
by all means, you know?
Well, I don't get on much with you guys, so it's nice to, like I say, and then everybody, you know? So
yeah, and just on a personal note,
How's
everything going otherwise out there? You know, with the whole COVID thing and everything's kind of dying off. I mean, everything good on your end in that respect out there, Craig?
It really is. My company, we do windows and doors, not to get into me, but we were an essential business, and if we weren't an essential business, we would have been out of business, to be honest with you. So I worked every day, every hour. The company was good enough to say, okay, this is what we can do. You can work or you can be laid off, but the chances of coming back, you never know. So saying that, the climate of the world we all live in, right? I had
totally.
It pretty good. We kept our insurance. We kept working all the way through this whole thing. And health-wise, family and everybody's done really well. We haven't had any, you know, we all know people that got sick, but my family, cross fingers, has been really good.
That's a blessing, and that's all you can really hope for these days, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's really, really
exactly.
true. Very good, man.
Well, listen,
that is what I like to hear.
Going to try to, and I don't mean to cut you guys short, but I'm going to try to get these things out to you as quick as I can. I only, that last little barrage is what I get caught up, but there was a lot of picks there, and I want to double-check if you guys are accurate.
Yeah, I mean, just from a feedback, like, that was a pleasant surprise. I thought we really did good there towards the end there to get a lot of get a lot of action.
For me, I wasn't surprised by that, though. I really wasn't, because I think what it is, with so many teams being close, I think everyone was like, well, who's going to make that big move? And no one really did, so everyone was like, you know what, I'm just going to hold back then.
You're right on it. I think a lot of people had a lot of stuff going, but they, you know, everybody was on the fence, so you didn't have decisions made. Tommy had thrown something at me, and I was going to do it, and we had a three-way, not really a three-way, but we had, you know, I was also working with Frank on that deal, and it was like, you know, I've got to apologize to Tommy. With all that's going on, I got to make sure that he knows. You know, I didn't mean to just pull the plug on him, but you got all this stuff flying, and I don't know about yous, but, you know, I probably had 10 things going, and I landed one, you know, the whole night. So everybody needed defense, too. I need a D, but they're just not out there to give.
Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, that's why I early in the, you know, just kind of assessing everything, that's why I traded Tavares to get Charlie McAvoy, is that it's really hard to get those three really good defensemen right now, because, you know, a lot of the premier defensemen in this league are on really premier teams in our league. Cam McCarr, mm-hmm. Yossi, you know, guys like that, they're not on teams that are thinking about selling. So that's why it's been, you're right. But teams have, you know, been getting creative with that. You know, you go for guys that have good plus minus or don't hurt you with the minus threes and stuff.
Yeah. Well, and that's how smart our owners are. That's why this league is so awesome. You try talking to people outside of us 16 guys, and it's like, oh, you do everything manual? You guys, you know, and it's like, dude, you don't realize what this has added to the thought process. This isn't, you know, having your coffee, taking 6 minutes and, you know, filling a hole in your roster. This is who am I RFAing? Who am I, you know, the different things. Listen, I'm going to fly, but I did want to lastly say, Brian, thanks so much for doing this radio show. It really makes a big difference. It really adds to the league, and I really appreciate you taking your time and doing it.
Oh, yeah, it wouldn't be the same without you guys, and that's what makes it run. So thank you very much.
You got it, Johnny. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Okay, and before you log off, I just realized, I think this is one of the few years we actually didn't make a trade during the season. I just realized that.
I looked at your stuff, but you're winning so much. Honestly, you know, you've had some real good runs here. You know, you're not looking to dump a guy here or there. You're looking to add, and I just don't have a ton after the McDavid deal. I don't have a lot of stuff to help you with. So that's why I think why this year, when I look at your record, I'm like, that guy's got way too much power. He don't want any of my scrubs. So.
Yeah, but you know what? When you have those big guns, have a good one. You know, guys, when you have those big guns, you could just win weeks, you know, and just look at a Bates he has. You know, by the way, I mentioned those three guys. He even has Patrick Kane. I mean, he's got four top-flight Hall of Famers floating on his team, and he does have Jacob Markstrom, who's been a great goalie, and so he's got some weapons. You know, he's going to be a handful come playoff time, and you have Vasilevskiy, and Dan's got Ottinger, who's on fire. That's why I had to go out and get a goalie tonight. Well, you know what I'm doing, guys? I have Shesterkin on my taxi. I'm dying to call him up, but I want to carry him over. But I don't want to lose him and RFA him, you know, because Frank would be on it in 2 seconds, and he knows it. You know, so I don't want to do that yet.
Yeah, imagine that.
Oh, man. Hold on one second. I'm actually going over my lineup here, too. I want to make sure.
Oh, okay.
You know, one of the things about living on the West Coast is you don't want to wait till Sunday morning because it's 9 o'clock. The deadline for me is 9 o'clock in the morning. So if I sleep in just a little bit, then that's it.
You know, see, it's funny because I've only been out to the West Coast a couple of times, and I remember one time I went out there because I had went to Anaheim out there to see the
Yankees. I live very close to Anaheim. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if I ever do that again, I got to make sure I get in contact with you. So.
Oh, you absolutely, Johnny, absolutely, yes. You have to let me know. We'll get together for sure. No question. Yep.
But what was funny, I had woke up, and it was like 9 in the morning, but I was out there, and at the time, I forgot I was out there, and I was like, okay, I know the Michigan game comes on at noon. I'm like, why is it on at 9 o'clock in the morning? And then I was like, wait a minute, you're on the West Coast, that's why.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I
mean, it's 10 a.m. football is a joy out here, by the way. It's 10 a.m. football is the norm. It's not the exception here. You know, so it's good. Like, I like the early hockey games, too. I like the 9 a.m., 10 a.m. hockey games. And sometimes, I should say.
Yeah.
You know.
No, but like I said, because then once I get out there, then I got used to it because it normally takes me like a few hours. Thing is, I never adjust whatever time, like my phone might do it, but if I have a watch on, I never adjust the watch because I'm like, I'm mm-hmm. keeping it on my regular New York time. So I can always look at it and be like, okay, well, the watch says 12 o'clock. Okay, I know it's 9 o'clock. Okay, it's mm-hmm. 9 o'clock. I know it's 6 o'clock, but I never take myself off that time. So that's when I get back to the East Coast, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. So.
Absolutely.
Because, see, I've only been to the West Coast 3 times. One time I went out to Anaheim for a Yankee series. I went to Seattle. I went to Seattle for a Yankee series. And then one of my friends had a bachelor party out in Vegas. And so those are the only 3 times I've actually been out west.
Wow. Man, you got to make it out here, Johnny.
Yeah, but well, see, I'm thinking now that it seems like all the numbers are going down, everything might go back to try to do some of my sports trips again. So
good, yeah.
Because I haven't done any kind of sports trip now in about 3-4 years now, and I'm like, yeah, this is kind of weird.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 60 seconds on the live portion of the show. If you're listening out there, thank you for joining us. Everyone couldn't do without you guys. It was really, you know, the fun show as always. It's always, you know, it's been a trying week for me personally, but we got it in, and you know, so that's oh, absolutely. So absolutely. So, but other than that, you know, we got it in and we're off and running.
So I'm like, no matter what, the league always finds a way to get it done. I mean,
absolutely.
We may not always agree about how to do it, but hey, it still gets done.
Oh yeah, it's like you said. I mean, you know, even with this RFA thing, you know, we all had our little disagreements and there are little quirks, and but you know, you come to resolutions on it. You know, you kind of look it over and, you know. Absolutely. It was perfectly fine. Hold on one second, guys. I think I have to take a phone call here real quick, okay? So
okay, no problem.
You could stay here. Talk amongst yourselves for a bit. I'll be right back. Sorry, guys. I got to take it.
Okay.
What's going on, Johnny?
All right, wait. Who's this?
Dan.
Oh, hey. Okay, no. No, I didn't realize you were actually still on, so.
Yeah, didn't really have much to add, so. But I was,
oh, okay.
That's still
no
on
problem.
The line. You still follow the Knicks real well?
Yeah, no, I still have season tickets. I mean, they're really pissing me off, but I'm like, hey, you know what? I thought last year was somewhat of a fluke, and unfortunately, a lot of people were mad at me when I said it, and I'm like, well, unfortunately, they proved me right. I'm like, I would have loved for them to prove me wrong, but they didn't.
Well, I mean, Randall was playing in a contract year, so He just really balled out, and now that the contract is there, you're seeing a different Randall. Not that that was the reason. I'm just saying that it always is funny how that seems to go.
Yeah, and then and after all these years, and you've heard how fans are on New York players, I'm like, you really thought now you could come because you had your had your good year, and then you'd be like, oh, yeah, this year, now you won't be mad at the fans. I'm like, you really want to challenge the fans, and you think you're going to win that. Yeah, you might be making the money, but in the end, be like, you know what, get me out of here. I can't deal with these people. So then he walked back some of your comments. But see, I'm like, see, the fact that you made the comments, I'm like, Knicks fans, no, that would not be forgotten. So
they're a tough fan base, you know. I mean,
guys, I'm back.
New York,
I'm sorry, I got a semi emergency to handle here, but feel free to amongst yourselves. I'll keep this going for a bit, okay? I'll check in with you.
Okay, all right.
Okay. So, I mean, with New York, it's a really tough market, and the fans have really big expectations because they've seen a lot of good things from their teams.
Yeah.
You know, the best players that have been in New York have the toughest skin because they can handle the criticism from the fan base and all the personalities that are there. So it's a big challenge, but, you know, it's like Kemba Walker is facing it right now, unfortunately, you know. I mean,
yeah,
he's really struggled. He sure as hell didn't when he went back to Charlotte in one game. I'm a Hornets season ticket holder, so I went with a buddy of mine that I knew from Disney when I worked at Disney. He came up, and he's a big Knicks fan, so yeah, we had a good time with that. And
oh, okay.
Kimball Walker whooped our ass, but Hornets took care of business, but they're another enigma. I went to a game tonight, and they beat the Spurs, but, you know, I don't know. They don't have somebody like Mitchell Robinson, like a big guy that can create presence down low. So everybody drives on us and kicks our ass there. So it's just going to be a challenge for them. It was fun, and it's cool seeing LaMelo Ball, you know, just coming to its own, his own.
Yeah.
Really the challenge of LaMelo Ball now is he plays too fast in his head. He plays really fast in his head, and he needs to trust his work and go at a slower pace, because he makes a lot of mistakes when he goes really fast. He either makes a bad pass, or he takes a really stupid shot with like 5 seconds into the shot clock. Just a really stupid shot that really you shouldn't take. But
yeah,
he'll learn it. He's young. He's our future. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't want to take up too much time talking about my wonderful team. So,
in my case, I have no problems with that. And then I'm thinking, because you're not your season ticket holder, maybe next season, depending on when the Knicks are down there, maybe I can come down, and maybe me and you go.
Johnny, that would be great, man. You know, I would enjoy that very much. Knicks usually play about a couple games. They actually play here in like 2 or 3 weeks. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would very much invite that. And like Brian said, with in California, you know, just message me, you know, and I'll work and make it happen.
Okay, yeah, because I guess you can tell I have no problems going to travel to see my team. So, in fact, that's probably the only reason why I've been to probably different parts of the country, because, like, in the case of the Yankees, I've seen them, let's see, Anaheim, Seattle, Cleveland, Detroit, Atlanta, Washington, Philadelphia. Well, no, I haven't seen them in Philadelphia. I've been to Philadelphia, but I'm missing at least one city right now. I can't think of it, but I know I'm missing at least one. But as you can see, I'll go. I have no problems going, go travel to see my teams. So
yeah, and then, you know, I've been thinking about that also. So yeah, that's really cool that you're doing it. What I've been thinking about doing, so you've done it.
Yeah, and then no, it's interesting because, like, it's when you go to different parts of the country and see things that you're so used to, like from a sports perspective or anything, go somewhere else and be like, oh, really? Huh. Okay, so not everyone thinks about the Yankees in the way that like how it's portrayed, like on the sports shows. I'm like,
right.
Because I've been to some places and some people are like, I could care less about what the Yankees do. I'm like, they're like, I just came because the Yankees were here and I just want to see what it's all about. And I'm like, really? I'm like, what? If you listen to the sports shows, they'd be like, oh, yeah, everyone just hates them and they just want to. I'm like, okay. So it's really weird. Like I said, when I go travel, you get to see so many different perspective on things. I'm like, okay, so this is what it's really about. So, and that I enjoy, because just like when people they be like, wow, you're a Yankee fan, and be like, you're nothing like we expect them. Like, well, again, that's also the misconception. Despite what people say, we're not all jerks, even though everyone seems to have that opinion about Yankee fans. But I'm like, hey, you have to meet different people, and then when you meet them, be like, wow, nothing like I expected.
Oh, exactly. You know, that's what the media...
Oh, Cleveland, that's the other one. I don't know if I mentioned Cleveland was the other spot.
Oh, okay.
I've been there a couple of times, too, to see the Yankees.
Okay, yeah, so you got to see the Indians at... I think it used to be Jacobs Field. I don't know the name of it now.
Yeah, it's for Progressive now.
Yeah, Progressive Field. A coworker of mine is a Cleveland Indian or Cleveland Guardians fan. Blah.
Oh, yeah, you know, now that you said, yeah, I guess you said they're not the Indians anymore. The Guardians. Okay.
Yeah. Blah. You know, it's honestly with that point, you know, it's like, for example, you know, when they, I know this is going to another topic, but it's the same thing. The riots and all this stuff was happening, and they were making it out like every town, every place and every town was like Kenosha. Like you walk outside and you're in a racial battle, and that's just not the case. And that's just what the media does. Like, the media wants you to think that everybody hates the New York Yankees everywhere you go, just like the media at that time wanted to paint the picture that everywhere, every city is like Kenosha, and it's just not the case. You know, we just go walk outside and are friendly with each other.
Yeah.
it's just weird.
It's one thing I also taught a lot of people don't do, because like with me, well, I've been so disgusted with basically the media. I really don't watch any of the news shows. But like I tell people, I'm like, if you really want to see what's going on, you need to watch Fox News, you need to watch MSNBC, and you need to watch CNN. You need to watch it for yourself. You can't let the people on those networks, because if you only follow one network, yeah, they're going to tell you what
they think,
and then they will edit other networks' stuff and put it on, because I've seen each network do that. I'm like, you know what? I saw that segment when it actually happened. The way you guys just presented it is not exactly what happened. But see, when you only look at that network, that's what you see. And I'm like, that's how they get you. And I keep telling people all the time, because it's funny, I can walk in somewhere and depending on what news network it is, I'm like, I can identify people. And they're like, how do you know who that is? I'm like, because I take the time out and look for myself. I'm like, I'm not going to let whatever network you're watching dictate everything, because they're going to lie to you, plain and simple. And it's such a simple concept, but yet a lot of people don't want to listen. I'm like, okay, whatever, that's you.
Well, Johnny, that's the art of war, divide and conquer. So they've divided people into many different kinds of categories, because the people that are truly running this world want is for nobody to be on the same page.
Yeah.
They want nobody to be on the same page. It's easier to implement things when everybody is bickering at each other and not listening. You know what? It is really difficult sometimes to listen to CNN and MSNBC with Rachel Maddow. I mean, whatever her name is, Maddow. I call her Rachel Maddow. But either way, the point is you got to get that full education. I always believe that the real truth is in the middle. It's not on one side and it's not the other. The real answer is a collaboration between both thoughts. So,
yeah. And what I was going to say, and see, the problem is with that, even though both sides, and this is something both sides are guilty of, I'm like, what's happened is you let the people that are far right take over, and you let the people that are far left take over. And I'm like, and all the people that actually have common sense, no one want to listen to. And when someone with common sense actually tried to say something, everyone attacks them. I'm like, why are you listening to all the idiots that are too extreme? Because there are people on both sides that are just too extreme, and that's the biggest problem. I'm like, you need to have the people that have the common sense to be like, you know what? You're not always going to get what you want. Compromise and try to work out something that works for everyone. But now it's like, no matter what side you're on, it's either everything we want or we don't want to be bothered. I'm like, really? That's not why you were put in office. But I'm like, okay.
Exactly. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things financially that I am real good with as far as the Republican Party goes, but also there's other things like I believe in our infrastructure and the transportation needs to be monsterly updated because we're getting our ass kicked, and that's something that the Democratic Party is more of the side of. So I listen both sides. I come up to my own thoughts from there, and a lot of people don't do that. They just only tune in to Fox News if they're a Republican, or if they are a Democrat, they only listen to CNN, and that's the truth that they get, and it's And people get so emotional talking about politics instead of just sitting there and rationally having a amicable discussion. I know that people are not going to be happy with some people's thoughts, but you know what? That is the world we're in, and what we'll always be in. We'll all have different opinions, man. We all want the same thing, is to live a good life. It's just how we approach that.
And see, I think one of the biggest problems is 24-hour news cycles, because basically if something, let's say something happens at 6 o'clock this morning today, you're going to hear that now on the same loop for the next 24 hours. So it just gets stuck in your head, and it just gets to the point I'm like, we get it. This is what's going on. And then you get all the people that didn't, because if you think about it, with these, especially with the cable networks with their news stations, it's not, in most cases, for some of these people, it's not about trying to report the news. It's about trying to promote yourself and be like, look, I'm a star, I'm a celebrity. And I'm like, no, that's not what the job is at. That's not what the job is supposed to be. It's not supposed to, for you to be like, oh, look at me, I'm so important. No, you're not. You're just a normal, you're just a person like everyone else. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, then you have to wait for, then when something bad happens, and then when people attack you for that, oh, I don't understand why people are attacking me. But I'm like, well, remember all the other crap? When other people are going through bad stuff, I'm like, well, life works itself out. I'd be like, you want to screw people over? And you can get away with it for a long time, but you know what? It'll work itself back around, and you, in the end, you'll get screwed over bigger than what you did to other people. So that's why I'm like, you know what? I just try to stay true to myself. I try to always be open-minded. I mean, there are times I'm going to go off tangent and I won't get it, and I get that. But for the most part, I try to stay focused, and I just don't, because I just listen to a lot of times to what people say, and I'm like, really? That's what you really think or believe? I'm like, and yet, though, the same people that you're trying to bash, if you were in deep dire help, need of help, then be like, oh, yeah, please help me. And then if that person be like, wait, you did all this, now you want me to help you? And if they say, go fuck yourself, I'm like, you know what? I'm like, I can understand where they're coming from, because I'm like, you brought it on yourself. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but I'm like, I can understand it.
Right. And you know, bringing it back to sports a little bit. And I'm glad that you're going and experiencing new areas and seeing how it really is, how things really are in these areas, because it's just like stereotypes is one thing. Like there's good in politics. There's good and bad people on both sides.
Everywhere.
And everywhere. And in sports, there are good fans and there are bad fans. They're in every fan base. And the stereotype, I don't know what New York's football team you like, but
neither.
I'm not.
Well, actually, it's funny you brought that up, because I was talking to one of my friends earlier. I'm like, the way I see it, there's only one New York football team, and that's Buffalo. I don't consider the other two teams New York teams.
Yes, they're in New Jersey.
But the thing is, when it comes to football, I'm a Cowboys fan, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember now.
Yeah. And see, in the case of the Cowboys, again, that was me as growing up as a little boy. My father, who was from South Carolina, even though he moved to New York, and him and my mother had me when I was in New York, he was a Cowboys fan. I followed him. So that's how I was a Cowboys fan. So,
I mean, like, for instance, like, I despise the New York Jets. And that goes, I guess, with back in the day, I was a Marino fan, and I was like the Dolphins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that happened there, but, you know, the point is,
didn't Marino get the best of the Jets more than the Jets got the best of him?
Oh, of course. The Jets, I mean, that goes with everybody. Most of the league got the better of the Jets everywhere.
Well, no, the Jets had their moments. I mean, they haven't had their biggest moments since 69, but still, they've had their moments.
Yeah, the butt fumble.
Oh, you mean the thing that because they won so many times, ESPN, after you'd be like, you know what, we're going to retire this because it wins week after week. Remember when they used to have that thing where they would put some of the worst plays of whatever in the butt fumble? I forget how long it won, and they were like, look, we're just going to retire this because clearly, I guess they realized that play is never
It would never
lose.
It would never lose. You still there, Johnny?
I still thought it was the funniest thing, though. And I'm like, but I guess it's funny because I'm like, well, it doesn't involve my team. Because if it was my team, I'd be like, you know, I'm getting tired of this.
Right.
But when it's not your team, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's so funny. When people see me wearing my Cowboy stuff, they'd be like, oh, 14 seconds. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I can't argue it. I'm like, he screwed up. I'm like, I still look at that, and I'm like, but the funny part is I wasn't even mad that they lost because, like I told my sister, they were in the first quarter, and I was just watching them like, oh, this game's over. My sister like, it's in the first quarter. I'm like, I know my team. I'll sit here and I'll watch the whole game, but I already know how this is going to turn. I'm like, they'll do enough to make it interesting, have a chance to probably win it and screw it up. And then when it happened, she was like, damn. She was like, you caught exactly what was going to happen. I'm like,
Brian has that same thing with the Bills. He senses when something bad's happening.
And like I told them before, I'm like, hey, when they had their four-year run, hey, those first 2 years, I had their back. I'm like, those last 2 years, sorry, I had to deviate. I had to go the other way.
Well, obviously, they were playing the Cowboys. Yeah, you had to.
No, because we've talked about that, but of course, clearly back then we didn't know each other, but like, well, when we found out, Ralph, what teams we like, I'm like, first 2 years I had you. Last 2 years, nah.
it's one of those remarkable things that have happened in sports that I just don't know if it'll be ever replicated.
And see the only thing I think that really sucks about the whole thing with Buffalo, I'm like, if you think about it, they did something to this day no other team has actually done. They went the four straight. No team has ever gone the four straight.
Correct.
In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think any team outside of Buffalo has gone to three straight. So I'm like, they've done something very unique. It's just that they get remembered in the wrong way. But I'm like, find me another team that can say, hey, we went to three or four straight Super Bowls. You've had teams win three Super Bowls in 4 years, but I think I know for a fact that four is definite, but I think they're the only team to also do it 3 years.
I really don't know off the top of my head. It's just something.
Yeah, no. Now that I think about it, I have to check into that because I'm thinking the only teams that could have done it would either have to be the Patriots or the Cowboys, because I know when the Steelers won their four, they didn't do it. They didn't do four in a row, and until they lost to the Cowboys, they had never lost the Super Bowl.
And remember, they lost to the Cowboys in the 90s, so I know in the 70s they didn't do it. And, oh, wait, no, I think Miami, no, I'm wrong. Miami went to three straight, but they didn't win three. I know they went undefeated 1 year. They lost to Dallas, I think, the year before. So, yeah, so it has happened, but, yeah.
So
I had to think about that.
I have your answer. Like you said, the Dolphins, and then we covered the Bills. New England did it, 2016 to 2018.
Oh, they actually did go three straight.
Yes. Let me.
Oh, okay. I missed that one. Okay. I thought there was a gap in between one of those their runs. Okay.
Yeah, they beat Atlanta, then they lost to the Eagles. And then they beat the Rams.
Oh, see, I thought there was a gap between that. Okay.
This is darn remarkable. He's that good because it's so tough, especially in this new era where free agents move around to stay consistently that good.
Yeah.
That's really unreal. With NASA, who do you think has got a shot to win it all?
What, you talking about for the upcoming football season or?
NASA, sorry. No, it was another.
Oh, okay.
I switched to NASA,
okay,
sorry.
All right. Well, right now, I would still say everything leans towards Vegas.
Yeah, they got a really strong team.
They seem to be balanced everywhere, and right now, that's probably I would lean towards. But this league is so weird. The fact that it's so obvious that it should be them almost kind of says it probably won't be them.
It's like many have said tonight, you know, you just have to get in, and then if you get hot, you get hot, you know. I mean, Peterborough's got, like we've mentioned, they got Connor McDavid, and then they got, Ovechkin. They got Crosby now. They got Patrick Kane. These are guys that are well-polished guys that could just all of a sudden turn it on and just obliterate everyone in the playoffs. So you just don't know until you start getting into the playoffs. But, you know, I mean, gosh,